Is that QI?
QI.
Yeah.
QI. That screwed me over on one of them.
Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today is Tracy Erickson.
How do you do?
He's returned from E3 and WWDC and related absences. Alex Rennie.
Hello.
He's returned from Sea Thief Riku.
You can't say he, like that. I think
where he enjoyed... Where he enjoyed diplomatic immunity, I imagine. Or did you? Did you enjoy diplomatic immunity?
I don't know. That isn't even South African. That's like just an entertaining British voice.
Diplomatic immunity. Okay. And also with us today is Will Wilson for the first time. Hello, Will.
Hello. I haven't been anywhere. I've been in the country for the last couple of years.
Yeah, no E3, no WWDC, no South Africa for Will.
I went downtown the other day.
Bought a headset.
This is Will, and he's going to be mixing the podcast and appearing on it every week from now on. So that's nice. So welcome to Will.
Hello, Will.
Hello.
And not with us today is Ben Maxwell, but he will be in future.
No, he's not. He's dead.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know, but I've created a simulator.
Oh, okay.
Like well,
that'd be a nice tribute for his mum.
Eliza Project. So we just ask him questions, and he, you know, the program gives us Ben-like responses. It's very clever. I'm nearly finished. So that's it. South Africa and WWC. I assume they're all good. I'm not even going to ask you because we're just going to move on straight into the news.
News!
What's been happening? Still iPhone 4. So two of us have got one, I guess, Tracy and I. Two of us don't. How does it feel not to have one?
Feels pretty good.
Feels shit. I don't even have an iPhone. I don't even have my old iPhone because some South African stole it. Well.
Really?
Probably stole it. I don't know. I was drunk. It fell out of my pocket. Is that theft? Is that theft by the other person? Probably.
Has someone been making calls on it? Have you checked?
Yeah, no one's made any calls on it.
Well, never mind. But we've got iPhone 4s. I suppose we could talk about those a bit because up until this is the first podcast in which the people speaking have had iPhone 4s. Tracy, what do you think of yours?
I'm still adjusting to it. I'm used to having a curved phone. Like the back, when you hold the phone, it's flat on the back.
Yeah.
So when I hold it in my hand, it feels like there's something missing, which is kind of cool because it's a lot smaller than any of the other phones.
Yeah, I've got it. This is my first ever iPhone, so I've got no curved backed iPhone to compare it to.
Are you using a bumper? Do you have a bumper?
No, I don't like using bumpers and things like that. Are you?
You know, I was like you, and I actually got for the iPhone 3GS, I got a case because when I was using my iPhone 3G, the back was getting scratched. So I got a fabric case for it, and I actually liked it fairly well. And when I got the iPhone 4, I thought I wanted to test out the bumpers. And so Apple sent bumpers with the phone, and I'm still kind of undecided about how I feel about it. There's one on it right now. I'm holding it right now. It's a green one, and it's quite bright. But I'm not quite sure I understand the need for the bumper.
Well,
because the phone is kind of covered, the parts that I would want covered up, like the back, so that it wouldn't get scratched, is still left exposed. The only thing I think it'd be fine. I'm still testing it out. I still haven't formed a full opinion on the bumper yet. I do think that they're way overpriced. I mean, it's a piece of plastic that costs $30 USD. That's way too expensive.
$30 for a bit of plastic.
Yeah.
It's not even a full case bit of plastic.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, it should be like $5. I mean, it's nothing.
That's a joke.
Apple isn't known for its competitive pricing. It's known for a lot of things. It's lauded for a lot of things, but competitive pricing isn't one of them. Isn't an
so
iPhone...
If you're listening and you have an iPhone 4, don't feel bad about... Like, if you're thinking about bumpers, think of the price and feel okay about, you know, not having one. Because I don't... Even if you really wanted one, I don't think they're worth the price.
No. And how about the signal problem then? I personally... It's funny because... It's actually very easy to reproduce the bars disappearing and signal loss situation on an iPhone 4, I found. I mean, you really do.
Really?
For me, really, it's as straightforward as this. I put it in my left hand with the thing covered up and the bars just disappear. So within about 20 seconds, they're all gone. Except what happens is I just have the line and then there's... the bar at the bottom, so there are no bars, but the signal doesn't drop. And I've checked, and I can still make calls. But then I do find it very easy to reproduce if I do it deliberately. But I haven't had it happen accidentally so far. See what I mean? Because it's unnatural to actually hold your iPhone in the way that in such a way that it happens.
If you were left-handed, would it happen?
Well, not really, because you hold your phone. It happens quite often if I'm holding the phone and I'm doing like emails or playing a game, because that is in that situation, I do actually hold it with my left hand covering that bit of the outside. During phone calls, no, because you hold your phone in your fingers like a spider.
Still, it's amazingly shit.
It's a real oversight. What have you found, Tracy? Have you had many calls dropped or anything like that?
No, but I actually use my headset most of the time.
Right.
So I usually will have the device sitting on a surface or in my pocket when I'm talking. But that's personal preference, because because then I can hear better.
Okay.
Do you hold the phone in your hand so that you don't look mental?
Oh, yeah. Like... Oh, no, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't use the headset in places where I would look mental.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You know what? If I was mental, I would definitely walk around with a Bluetooth headset. All the time.
Yeah, just shit.
Everyone.
And tinfoil over your head.
Well, yeah. Got to get a good reception.
Yeah. Well, there's the iPhone 4. So that's what the iPhone 4 is like. The signal stuff, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, it's both. I think it's both a problem for Apple and a major oversight, and something that if you have an iPhone 4, you're unlikely to be inconvenienced by at any point. I think it's both of those things at the same time. Apple, incidentally, has said Gizmodo, the thorn in Apple side, kind of, has managed to get an Apple customer care person to admit that the software update that's coming. So what happened initially was Apple released a statement and said, "Yeah, this isn't. Tell you what the problem is, guys." Yeah, what the problem is that it's just the way the software reports the signal. Okay, so the signal itself isn't going down. It's just the way the software reports it. There's probably some truth in that. So there's a software update that's coming that will mean that you see more bars on your phone, although there is undoubtedly actual signal problems. And Gizmodo has managed to get a customer service person to admit that those won't be resolved by the software update that is forthcoming. But, yes, you know, I wouldn't personally use that as a reason not to buy an iPhone 4. But I guess you can make your own choice. What else has been happening? Yesterday, T-Mobile in the UK is the last operator not to have released its tariffs for the iPhone 4. Everyone else has. 3 being by far the cheapest.
No, wait. Tesco's the cheapest.
No, Tesco gives you a 12-month contract, but it's not the cheapest. But
yeah, 12-month contracts is the cheapest.
Well, not like per... Like
overall life of... Yeah, but for the overall life of the contract. Anyway.
Okay, well, I'm just going to let Rennie work on that in the background to eventually prove himself wrong. It's sweeter if he does it. But anyway, T-Mobile has not released its tariffs, but they've been leaked. Somebody sent a screen grab, actually a photograph of a screen, to Pocket Lint. So let's have a look. Seems pretty typical. For example, if you want to get a 32 gigabyte iPhone 4 and a £25 a month tariff. It will cost you £349 for the handset. And with that, you get 100 minutes, 100 texts, and 500 megabytes of data, which is a little bit stingy. There you go. It's fairly typical. It's just another one of the tariffs. We'll hear, no doubt, in the next couple of days whether or not that is legitimate. So have you done any video calling on yours yet?
I haven't yet, no.
Because it works surprisingly well. What it does is it doesn't do it over 3G. It right. does it over Wi-Fi. So you have to be doing it. It has to be with another iPhone 4 owner. And it has to be, they have to be within range of a Wi-Fi spot. Because if you're during a call, you press the button to flip it to a video call, it instantly connects to the Wi-Fi nearest to you, and that's how it does it, and that's how it runs. If you know what I mean, it actually did seem to work quite well. But you have to be in a Wi-Fi zone.
I'll be curious to see how. I don't think the company will divulge these stats unless they're really high, but I would be curious to see how many people are actually using that. Like, come three 6 months from now.
Well, if they're anything like me, they just won't want to. That's the thing about the video calling is, however good the technology gets, I don't want to do it anyway. So that, the technology was not the reason that I didn't want to do it. I don't like webcams. I just the whole thing freaks me out, really.
Right. For the 16 gig on Tesco, it's going to cost you £589 for the phone and the contract. The cheapest one on three is £819. Boom, mm-hmm. Boom.
Okay. I can take that.
Don't I get more? Then okay.
No. So what else has been happening? There was some App Store hacking. Someone hacked the App Store in order to boost sales of their games, basically to put them up in the ratings. So some users complained that they were having their accounts hacked and they were having things bought on their accounts. And this was about 400 people. And Apple has got rid of the offender. It's very unlikely that any of those 400 people are listening to this podcast. So, and you know, and for everybody else,
this is good.
The issue's been resolved, so you're fine.
By the way, didn't Apple come back and say that it wasn't their fault though, that it wasn't hacked, and that it was just that the victims were, you know, phished?
Well, that so there was hacking. It's over and done with. Really, but I suppose just be aware. Yes, well, Pocket Gamer is in Sunday Times' top 5 video game websites.
Now that is good news.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? Who else was in the top 5? Number 1, Kotaku.com. Yeah. Anyway, Kotaku, number 1. Number 2, Yahoo Games.
Oh, that's an interesting pick.
Yeah.
People only use that for pool, you know, that online pool thing.
I used to use it back in like the late 90s.
Yeah, when Yahoo was cool.
Yeah, when Yahoo was the one.
I don't know about this guy. No, what he says, Yahoo is rarely used as a search engine these days. I don't know about rarely. I still think it's millions and millions of people are still using it. Okay. 3, uk.ign.com. Fair enough. You know, it's still big. 4, Destructoid. I can get behind that. I quite like Destructoid.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Number 5, Pocket Gamer. This
Boo.
British looks at mobile and iPad games with the same depth as it does PSP and DS titles. More depth.
Not true. Yeah.
I'd say more. Well, it's still very good. Anyway, this man has taste. In one of his selections, he has excellent taste. And what else? Anything else happened this week, news-wise? Jetcar Stunts got an update. iOS 4 graphics have been upgraded for the iPhone 4 Retina display, and it's got 26 extra levels. But unfortunately, they're DLC, so you have to pay for them. It costs £1.20 or
$1.99. That sucks.
Yeah, it's not a lot of money, but I just like it when I get free stuff. Okay, and what's come out? Monkey Island 2 has come out. Ultraviolet Dawn.
Downloaded that last night.
Did you? Because it was free. Well, which one? Monkey Island or Ultraviolet Dawn?
Whatever was free.
That Ultraviolet Dawn.
Yeah, that's free. Archetype.
Yeah, Wallace and Gromit was out.
Yeah, The Last Resort on iPad. I'll be talking about that in a bit. Despicable Me, Minion Mania.
Mania.
Deer Hunter HD is coming, or has come out actually. We'll be talking about some of these. And we've already got a review up of Monkey Island 2, 10 out of 10, of course. I was playing it in bed last night. I was playing it, and well, actually, Susie was kind of playing it. I thought we were going to play it together, but I went off for a shower. By the time I got back, she was already,
this is quite funny, already playing it. If you replace Monkey Island with something else.
But not Monkey Orgy?
No,
I don't get it. yeah, and she was playing in the old way. In the you know, the...
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, and I said, and I just went, ah, you know, I just leaned across, ah, let me just swiped my two fingers across the screen. And she went, no, don't like it like that. And she swiped her two fingers back. And she
No way. How? I would have never guessed.
It's insane.
Pixely now. I used to love it back in the day, but going back to classic on the pad, it just looks horrible compared to the updated graphics.
Oh, I know.
It almost looks like a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so pixelated. You're like,
fanboy.
Can barely make things out. It's really amazing. But that was, you know, that was like really the hot shit back then.
And the control system as well on the old version is absolutely terrible, because you have to manually kind of take the cursor around everywhere. So Susie couldn't work out how to do one of the puzzles, so I had to help her. And basically what it meant was I realized that what she needed to do was to bring the cursor all the way down to the little verb table, click on one, and bring it all the way back up again, which, you know, it doesn't occur to you. You just think, well, you should be able to just directly control it, which I think in Monkey Island 1, you didn't have direct control. It's only in Monkey Island 2 that you have it. And it makes so much more sense. But it looks, anyway, I took it off her and had a quick go of the new version, and it is awesome. I love it. Yes, and reviewed it and got a 10. Coming, R-Type. Learned about that late last week. It's quite unheralded, really. Just some screenshots just appeared on Games Press, but we'd already heard about R-Type coming to iPhone. Just as a collaboration between IREM, the original developers, and someone else, I can't remember even, some small developer who'd got hold of it and was going to develop it. But EA, in the meantime, has taken it over, I noticed. And so EA is bringing us R-Type soon. Rayman Origins may be coming to iPhone or iPad. And Spider HD, I think that's been submitted, so that's going to be coming out soon. iPad version of Spider, The Secret of Bryce Manor. Is it The Secret of Bryce Manor? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Which is basically the same as the old iPhone Spider, except it's got one extra mode and fancier graphics. The extra mode is multiplayer. And I imagine the spiders are bigger. Nobody wants that. Am I right?
I quite like spiders.
Well, I don't like spiders. What? Who likes spiders?
I don't mind them. I think they're quite interesting.
What a sicko. They are interesting because they can eat you.
Well, no! No, that's centipedes.
Well, neither centipedes nor spiders can eat humans. I think there's a lot of confusion in this conversation about what insects are capable of. Well, how did we get here?
I don't know.
Oh, Spider HD. I went back to my notes.
Oh, yes.
And answered the question. Yeah, so I'm a bit concerned. I'm a bit concerned that I'll, you know, if I were to play this game, the spider would be larger. Because I thought Spider actually was quite creepy. Just the sounds and the movement of the spider was weirdly authentic, and it actually did send the odd shiver down my spine. HD coming. So that's the news.
News!
Now it's time to go to the Rumour Mine. We haven't been to the Rumour Mine for a couple of weeks.
They closed it down. Health hazard.
There was a cold dust explosion. Many dead. But, you know.
Shouldn't joke about that.
We'll brave it. We'll brave it and go down into the rumour mine. So what's here? What's here in the rumour mine?
Dog.
Tracy, you know the rumour miner best. What's he been saying?
Oh, gosh. He's got a lot of stuff. He's been gone for so long. We'll start with something easy. We've been talking about Mirror's Edge a lot. And about 2 weeks ago, EA said it was going to be out any day for iPhone. We've been waiting for it since December, and yet it's still not out. Apparently, it's been delayed again. And the rumor miner says it's due to EA introducing iPhone 4 support to the game. So that it has HD graphics for the Retina display.
Fair enough, but I want to see it.
What do I do with that rat on Monkey Island right at the start?
Yeah.
How long is the light version?
Don't know. Okay, so Mirror's Edge is delayed again. That's a shame, but we're going to go and see it. You're going to go and see it soon, aren't you? Again, Will.
Yes.
And you've seen it before, so you know, it exists. Of that, we can be sure. It does exist.
Now, here's one for Alex. Alex, pay attention.
I'm listening. Oh, I've just got a knife.
Angry Birds 2 is on the way.
Sweet. Wait. What's going to be different, though? You know what? I feel dirty saying this, but I've kind of got a bit bored of Angry Birds.
Wait a second. You just went from saying great to I'm bored of it in the span of like 15 seconds.
Yeah, I thought, oh, that's great. And then I thought, wait a minute. I'm a bit bored of it.
You introspected.
Yeah.
So
it's still cool.
This could revolutionize. Maybe that's why it's coming out now. Maybe Rovio, Click Gamer, whoever are now conscious that people are getting bored with it. Maybe 2 will be what changes that. Do we know anything about it?
This changes everything again.
Can I stab the chef with the knife?
No. That's not what it's for. So Angry Birds 2, and what do we know about it?
Just not that it's very coming. Much. That it's coming, it'll be out before the end of the year. There's talk of multiplayer, where basically you'll have your own set of pigs that you have to defend and your own little tower of blocks, and then you have to kind of keep guard over that while you're firing on another person's set of blocks and trying to get their pigs, pop their pigs. But I don't know, it sounds a little bit, you know, I always worry whenever you take a game that's kind of fundamentally single player and then a developer says, hey, we're adding multiplayer. And sometimes it works. I'm trying to think of an example, and of course I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I think that's the conclusion. It never works.
No, I've actually been pleasantly surprised. To be honest, not on an iPhone game, but I'm trying to. There was a console game where I thought, oh, that was it. Uncharted. I thought, oh my God, they're adding multiplayer. This is going to be awful. And it's actually really good. But it's also Naughty Dog, and it's also a high budget action adventure game. It's not a small physics puzzler on a handheld.
Yeah, that's true. There are notable differences. I agree about the two-player thing. I can't see it in the game. Well, I guess if it's iPad, then maybe two people can play. Angry Birds. Yeah, I'm sort of bored with... I was bored straight away, though. I never liked Angry Birds all that much. I could see that it was good. You know, it's one of those things where you can see that it's good, but you don't like it. Yeah. That's how I felt about it.
You and I were in rare agreement about that. I remember that vividly, that going back and forth and you and I being kind of like, yeah, we kind of see why this is good, but personally, just really not getting into it. And Keith, who reviewed it, absolutely loved it, which is certainly the mainstream position considering how many people have downloaded it.
So that's Angry Birds. Angry Birds 2, can't wait to see what that involves. I imagine birds, catapults,
more
and
birds,
pigs. Yep. And the fourth generation iPod Touch, the rumor miner is saying, is to feature the Retina display as well. So it's going to be high res, high def, HD. And it's going to have a camera, people are saying. So yeah, that sounds exciting. Tracy, have you had the rumor miner told you any more?
About the iPods?
Or about the new iPod. Coming out in September, isn't it? Well, it'll be revealed in September. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right to me, because that's what they've been doing in previous years. I think, I mean, about the retinas, about the Retina display, what do you think of it? I mean, because I have to, after coming from an iPhone 3GS, I find it surprisingly pretty damn nice.
Right. So the Retina display, again, because I've got nothing, no point of comparison. So we're talking about things like the fact that the like text on a website, for example, no matter how far you zoom, it still has kind of smooth lines. Is that the kind of thing? And the fact that whatever angle you hold the phone at, the things on the screen kind of hold their color. Stuff like that, I think, is great. It's definitely a big improvement on my last phone, which was a Nokia 5800. And I think it's very nice. But I don't have... I probably can't be very authoritative on it, because I don't have like a experience with the Nexus 1 or the Samsung Wave to compare it to, or even previous iPhones, really. But wow. I do think it's very nice indeed. So it's a big improvement on the iPhone 3GS, then, you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't... I mean, I remember sitting at WWDC, and they were posting images on a projector of the home screen on an iPhone 3GS and an iPhone 4, and Steve Jobs saying, "Isn't that amazing? Just look at that." And I'm like, I'm looking at it, and they look the same. Like, you have to hold the device and really put it up to your nose and look at the text and look at the image on the screen to understand, like, them claiming that text is completely smooth is completely accurate. So, you know, when it comes to games, I was playing NCAA football 2010 yesterday. It's unfortunately not a very good game, but going through and looking at different plays in the playbook and going through the stats for all the players on my team, it's so crisp. It's so clear. I mean, it makes me think about times when I would play on PSP thinking, wow, the screen is really great. And this just blows any handheld screen out of the water. I mean, my only concern, and I hope that with the introduction of the new iPod Touches later this year, which I assume will have the same chipset, the same A4 chipset, that will bring it on, you know, kind of in parity with iPhone 4 and iPad, that developers start to kind of push the graphics to the level that will actually take advantage of the phone, of the screen. Because right now, the iPhone 4 games that are coming out, or the ones that are optimized for the Retina display, they look smooth, but they're still iPhone 3GS games. They're still developed on a processor that's half as fast. So I think we're not going to see, you know, really, you know, sort of kind of the really true iPhone 4 games until for another, you know, 6 to 8 months. Because right now it's like, I'll check my email and it's like, I notice it more checking my email than I do when I'm playing a game.
Sure. Hopefully in the future. But there is one game, and this is how we neatly segue into what we've been playing. There is one game, Eliminate gun range that's the kind of first iPhone 4 exclusive game. I'm just booting it up now.
There it is.
That's the NG Moco startup. Yeah, here it is. It's, as you can imagine, it's a gun range game where you shoot targets. And it shows off, I think it's been developed, well, I hesitate to say hastily, but it came out very quickly. It's called Eliminate Gun Range. It's not just called Gun Range, and I think that's significant because it's clearly kind of tacking on to something. It's not pretending that it's something, a product that stands on its own. I think that's the key to this. Mm. And it really isn't. There's not much to it. It's just, you just shoot some stuff. It says there are like 144 levels, which is true because there are 12 guns to unlock. And each time you unlock a gun, you can go through the same 12 kind of target ranges. But
those are levels.
The target range, there's actually only three target ranges. And you just, so when you're going through the 12, it actually just repeats the three target ranges four times and with different kind of sequences of targets to shoot. And sometimes you get different targets like these.
So there's three levels.
There's three target ranges. So in gameplay terms, it's very thin indeed. But what it does is it shows off the technology. The iPhone 4 has a gyroscope as well as an accelerometer, which gives you three extra axes of movement. To tilt the view, you kind of tilt the top or the bottom of the iPhone 4 away from you to the left or right. And you tilt it kind of up and down to look up and down. So you're holding your iPhone, you're playing the game, you're tilting. But then I'm on a swivel chair right now. So if I swivel around, here I go. Hey, slightly dizzy. The whole screen moves because the device is not only aware, it's not only aware of how I'm holding it relative to itself, but also relative to the world around it. So for that reason, there's a little button, like a little reset view button, which you have to use quite a lot unless you're a very static kind of person. But it's a tech demo. And as such, it's very impressive. And it kind of demonstrates what kind of things the iPhone 4 is capable of. It's 59p. I actually think it's worth it, even though it's not necessarily, you won't get the most out of it that you've ever got out of a 59p game. I don't feel like I was ripped off because it is a very impressive tech demo. It's interesting. And it's perfectly playable. Just there's not much variety to it. The other game I've been playing is Wallace and Gromit's Last Resort.
How is that?
Okay, so the things to say about it are that
it's shit.
No, it's not. I mean, it's definitely not shit. It's a game that's already been out for a while, and it's a point and click adventure game, although it originally came out on PC and Xbox 360. So you controlled it on Xbox 360, at least with a control stick, which I don't think is ideal for a point and click adventure game. But what it's certainly not ideal for is when you're putting it on iPad, and instead of optimizing the controls for iPad, you put in a virtual control stick. That's insane. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's not a deal breaker. It doesn't kill it or anything, but it's not the best control system. So basically, it's a third person game. Well, it's not third person even. You have scenes. It's fully 3D, and you just control either Wallace or Gromit in different sections of the game. You walk around. You speak to people. You collect objects and use objects with other objects in the world. It's standard point and click adventure fare. It's set in the Wallace and Gromit universe, which is like over here. I don't know what it's like in America, but over here, it's really a kind of national treasure, like Stephen Fry and the Queen. You know, people absolutely love it here. It's the most British thing I can think of, Wallace and Gromit. But it kind of has some of that charm. It has decent voice acting. It doesn't have Bill Salis. It's got his kind of, but it's got his official stand-in. Peter Salas, rather, but it's got his official stand-in doing the voice of Wallace. So it kind of has some of the charm, but the problem in a computer game, you don't quite have the same. There's something dead about everyone in it. They're dead behind the eyes in a way that they're not on TV and film. If you're a fan of Wallace and Gromit and you're buying it because of that, you might find yourself disappointed because it doesn't have the same magic. But having said that, it's still a perfectly respectable game and a perfectly respectable imitation of the TV and film series. So yeah, it's very quick to finish. It's the scale of it's very small. There aren't many locations. Most of the puzzles are fine, but not all of them. Some of them are a bit weird, but generally it's solid. It's just very short and very low scale, and the performance is really just flaky, just low frame rate. There's long loading times between screens.
Yeah, no, I mean that's the same thing that was the problem with Sam and Max too.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
I hope they get the kinks worked out. I'm really eager to see how Puzzle Agent turns out. At least just, you know, both as a game, it's been out on PC, but also just technically, I'm hoping they're kind of getting their legs. Their sea legs in terms of developing for iPad, because I like Telltale.
Well, I really liked Wallace and Gromit. As much as it sounds like I'm a bit down on it, I'm actually not. I enjoyed the experience. It was very, very kind of slick and professional. It's just the performance wasn't very good, and that's what kills it. I made those other criticisms just because that's what you do. You say they're a bit dead behind the eyes because you got to, you know. I'm just trying to kind of cover for every possible audience that might want to buy it. But in truth, it's a perfectly serviceable, charming adventure game that works. It's not insanely illogical or anything like that. It works perfectly well. But the performance stuff is really deadly. And they seem to be having this problem on iPad consistently.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I've been playing. Other bits and pieces, but I'll leave it there. I've been talking for long enough. Will, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Monkey Island 2 on the iPad. It's not just that, actually. I did find something about it. My only real negative of the game, and it's not really the game's fault, is just that purely I'm going through the game and I can see I'm like looking at objects and I'm thinking, you know what, I need that object to do that so I can do that and then I can do that. But I'm remembering bits of the puzzle, but then I'm not remembering the bits that lead up to the puzzle that I need to do. So I'm kind of frustrating myself by remembering 90% of all the puzzles that I have to do. So it's kind of it's driving me a bit mad. But yeah, and also I'm kind of missing the whole, you know, when it was fresh in your mind, like how cool it was to first of all work out how to do that puzzle that we mentioned earlier that we might not have fully edited version, because it's massively spoilerific. But I just miss that feeling of actually solving the puzzles, because right now I'm kind of like I'm like a zombie when I play it. It's all automatic.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Good. Tracy.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry.
So, what have you been playing?
Let's see. Said I was playing NCAA football. It's not very good. It's basically Madden, but with real, like, somehow there are some control problems. Like, you'll press left to juke left, which is basically to move, like, to get out of the way of a person, of a defender that's trying to tackle you.
Yeah,
same thing. Shimmy. And it does, and your player won't move left. He just runs forward. The tackle button when you're on the defense often doesn't work. Like one time I hit the tackle button and he jumped, the player that I was controlling jumped up to try to swipe the ball during the pass. Like, so it's got weird problems, which is sad because it should be a good game. I've been playing, I reviewed Archetype, so I played that, which is kind of like a paid version of Eliminate, where you just buy the app for £1.79 or $2.99 USD, and you get unlimited play. via Wi-Fi or 3G. Unfortunately, I found that the 3G does not work on an iPhone 3GS. It only works on an iPhone 4. Now, I don't know why that is. It's supposedly the publisher of the game, Villain Software, says that the game should work on all devices using Wi-Fi 3G, and they even claim Edge. But I don't know how it would possibly work on Edge when it wouldn't even connect on 3G. So I would be very, if anybody's listening, you know, anybody who's been playing Archetypes that's listening and you've managed to play it on Edge, please let us know. Let me know. Send me an email, because I have not heard of anyone being able to do that yet. Aside from the connectivity stuff, it's actually a fun shooter in the sense if like if all you want to do is go in and shoot stuff, it's really good. The weapons are really cool. The controls generally are pretty solid. They're not ideal. They're very good. I like them. I prefer them over Eliminate. The only sticking point for me is it's very much a shell of a game. Like there's not a lot of content. You basically just go in and you shoot stuff. You get experience, but you don't earn anything. You're not rewarded for, you know, ranking up. You just earn the experience and then you rank up. So it's basically right. Like, you know, you're just level grinding for no reason. You don't get to customize your character. You don't unlock new weapons. You don't unlock new maps. You don't do any of that stuff. So it really kind of comes down to personal preference. If that's really important to you, you're not going to like the game. But if you just want to go in and have a good, you know, kind of core shooter, then you'll probably enjoy Archetype. I imagine, because it seems to be popular, that they'll kind of build it up and add some modes in the same way that Eliminate did with their co-op expansion. And if they do that, that'd be great. You know, but I think both Archetype and Eliminate have proved that it's possible to do a multiplayer only shooter on the device. But not only that, but you know, there's a market that people want to play them. So I'm interested to see now that both of these games are out there and people are really, you know, kind of, you know, playing them, where that will put games, single player shooters with multiplayer components like Nova and we've talked in the past, the rumor miner has that there's a Medal of Honor coming. You know, how will those games fare in comparison to the network only games?
Alex, have you been playing any games in Sea of Thieves?
I played Scrabble actually while I was over there, which is good. Yeah, it's just like Scrabble really, but on the iPad. But the only thing is that you can have loads of little shitty two-letter words that aren't real words.
But you know what I call that?
What?
I call that, no, voscrabulary. There's a certain, there are words that are only used on a Scrabble board, like key and S. E-S.
Is that QI?
QI. Yeah. QI. Screwed me over on one of them.
But that's a foreign word. You shouldn't be able to use that.
Yeah.
No, it's in the dictionary. If it's in the dictionary, you can use it. But the dictionary is filled with all these strange little words that are just exist to let you get rid of letters in Scrabble. Because I think it shouldn't just be words that are in the dictionary. When you play Scrabble, you should only use words that you know and know how to use. I'm quite puritan about it.
I agree with that.
There was a massive controversial moment where we realized that one of the guys was cheating, because there's like a cheat button on Scrabble where it just like tells you the best word, and he'd been using that for like 3 rounds, and then we caught him, and then he wasn't allowed to play Scrabble anymore for the rest of the holiday.
So you've been playing Scrabble.
The only other game I played is this like little known one called Poker HD, which is designed for the iPad. And it just allows you to play heads-up poker against either a computer or someone else. But it's really good because you don't need any cards or chips. You can just play on the iPad. It's a really good idea.
Is it just two player?
Yeah, it's just two player at the moment, but it should be released in an update, I think, because it four player would work fine as well. But yeah, it's really handy. Like this little, like you cover up the iPad with your hand and like look at your cards, and then you just play. So it's normal poker, but it's so much faster than playing obviously poker with cards because you don't need to shuffle or anything, and no chips needed. But yeah, it's really good if you like poker, and you like playing against your friends. Then play it, buy it. I think it's 59p.
You could gamble on Poker HD. Okay, well. We should go now, but I just want to quickly say, and I don't usually talk about games that people have advertised because I don't like it. It makes me feel dodgy, even if I like the game. Yeah, cause not that I ever would talk about a game because they were advertising, but more often than not, if someone happens to be advertising on Pocket Gamer, I'll avoid just the hornet's nest. I just won't talk about it. But this flick kick football game, it's sponsoring the the World Developers Championship, which we all love and adore. It isn't ruining our lives at all. It's sponsoring that. Didn't think anything of it, but then I noticed it was number one in the App Store, and I thought, okay, it knocked Angry Birds off the top. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll give it a go then. It's actually really good. I've been playing it a lot. It's if you haven't played it yet, I think you should play it because it's good fun. I think John Jordan gave it a 7, so I guess it's fair. It's, you know, there's not much to it. It's just the same thing over and over again. So it's very repetitive, but it's well executed. So that's my top tip to you guys. Flick kick football.
Top tip. It is number one in the pay charts. You've not uncovered much here, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. But it actually is quite good. I've been enjoying it. Never mind. That's it. That's the end of the podcast. We said this was going to be a quick one. We failed. We always fail. But never mind. So sorry, Tracy, once again, we've kept you up until 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just life. It's the hard life of a games journalist in some ways, you know, harder than being a fireman or a policeman.
Doctor.
Or in the army. Yeah, or a doctor. But this is the end. We've reached the end. And Will is going to be mixing this. So whatever comes out of the other end, you know, it's his fault. It's not my fault anymore. It's his fault.
Yeah.
even when I say things like "isht" and you can, you know, go and read pocketgamer.co.uk. The Times is fifth favorite gaming website.
I think it was just top five. I don't think it was fifth, so it could be first.
First, number one favorite.
Number one
gaming website. Give us a rating on iTunes. Until next week, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Bye from me.
Bye from me.
Oh, that was a dour note to end it on.